did you speak to our hearts about perseverance, about endurance? There is no way anybody on the face of the earth will ever suffer what Jesus suffered and suffer what the Apostle Paul suffered. And they gave us an example of not quitting and not stopping. I pray that you encourage your people today. If there's one here without Christ, I pray it would be the day that they come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Whatever decision needs to be made today, Lord, we just pray for your spirit to have freedom to move in the hearts. And so we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Playing hurt. How many of you here, and this is not a condemning question, but how many of you like sports? Raise your hand. Okay. We do. I've loved sports growing up, but it's like everything else. It's become a part of the world. But I remember athletes. I don't remember the first one that I'm going to share with you that played hurt. Regardless of the obstacles or what they had going wrong with them, they played through and they played hurt. Athletes like that today don't do that. I'm told about Y.A. Tittle, played in the 1964 NFL season with a concussion and a cracked sternum. Jack Youngblood, many of y'all know that he's from Monticello, Florida. He played in the 1979 game with the L.A. Rams, who he played for in a playoff game. He broke his fibula bone from a chop block, wore a brace, and yet was instrumental in sacking Roger Staubach, the Hall of Fame Cowboy football player. And I remember that with Jack, but I also remember Kurt Gibson. How many of y'all remember Kurt Gibson? Of the L.A. Dodgers. He came into the 1988 World Series. He had two injured legs, wasn't able to play the whole series. And in the bottom of the ninth, with two outs and two on, they called on him to pitch hit. He came in and hit a game-winning home run to win the game. And if you've watched sports, you've seen that over and over as they advertise playoffs and World Series of Kurt Gibson. Who can forget the image of Kurt Gibson hobbling around the bases after hitting that home run? And I hate to disappoint you because I'm a Georgia fan, but Herschel Walker, which I believe to be the greatest football player that ever played, especially running back, he played in the 1981 Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame. Notre Dame was bragging about how they were going to keep him under 100 yards all week. Well, that week against Notre Dame in the 1981 Sugar Bowl, he gained 150 yards, and he did it all with a separated shoulder. Amazing, isn't it? These athletes played through. They played hurt. Regardless of what was going on, they didn't want to come. They overcome great odds and obstacles. But I'm telling you, that saddens me because when I think of the church, I think of the church that's so weak-kneed and so wimpy that we can't play through. We want to give up. We can't play hurt in the Christian life. We can't play hurt in our church life. It's amazing how people want to give up when someone says something about him or about their ministry or some little something. It don't take much to offend Christians. But look how our Lord was offended. And he opened not his mouth. And so people get easily offended. It could be a word spoken that's misunderstood. It could be a word meant in jest or joking and they take the wrong way. It could, you know, and they just want to give up and they want to leave the church. But they're going to take the same person with them when they go to the other church, right? We need to learn to play through. We need to learn to play hurt. And we all have things happen in our life. It could be tragedies. It could be financial things. It could be health things. And as Brother Frank went through just recently, he shouldn't be here today. He should be in heaven. But he played through. And he played hurt, right? And guess who gets the glory? Not Frank, but God does. Amen? Amen. That's a big burden. As I looked at this text and I saw what the Apostle Paul went through for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I compare it to us, and man, I was convicted. I want to give you a few thoughts here about this passage before we get into opening it up. No outline today because it's really, you know, I don't know if it's going to be an outline when I get through or not, but here we have one of the four most comprehensive lists recorded in Scripture, especially in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, of Paul's suffering for the cause of Christ. There's four great lists. This is the most extensive one. And secondly, the sad truth is that this list is not exhaustive. If we begin to think that list that the Holy Spirit has made in the Bible, especially a list of Paul's suffering, it's not everything included. What's included is what we need to know. Okay? Just like the list in 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about how the heathen act. That's not an exhaustive list. And so don't feel good about yourself because your sin's not in that list, right? It's not an exhaustive list. And it's interesting that as I looked at it, he gives more details in Luke than he did in the book of Acts. And some are not even mentioned in Acts, but they all happened. And I was struck by a fourth thing as I meditated on this text this week. True ministers, which Paul was, in comparison or in contrast to the pseudo-apostles, true ministers boast more about their accomplishments, not about their accomplishments, but about the Lord's comfort to them in their suffering. Okay? If you get a man in the pulpit, all he does is brag about what he's done for God. Hey, I want to know how God comforted him in the hardships. Amen? And that's what he's talking about. Now, how would you like to get a promise like I'm about to share with you when God saved you? Man, I'm glad that God didn't tell me everything that was in front of me. Man, I would have took all the good things, the weddings, even the funerals. I mean, I love ministering to people. I would have took all the baby births, and as long as I'm not in the labor room, you know, I enjoyed that part of the ministry, okay? But notice what, through Ananias, what the Lord said about the Apostle Paul when he called him to be an apostle. In Luke chapter 9, verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." Stop right there. Boy, Joel Osteen and Benny Hinn have a good time with that text, wouldn't he? See, it's nothing but happiness in the Christian life. But verse 16 says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." See? What if God showed you everything about your life up front? That would have been terrible, wouldn't it? But he knows that we need to develop. He needs to know that we follow him step by step. And as we grow and he gives us the grace and we know the knowledge of God's word, we're able to cope with things that come into our life. I want you to notice verse 21 and 23. The Apostle Paul did not want to boast of his sufferings. But the Corinthian believers' acceptance of the false apostles made it impossible for him not to do so. He thought it was foolish that he had to boast about his call and his ministry. Notice it in verse 21, if you will. "I speak as concerning a reproach, as though we have been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also." In other words, he's talking about, it's foolish for me to do so. But yet I need to because of your acceptance of the pseudo-apostles. So now we're going to look at verses 23 through 28, and we're going to examine Paul's scars in his service for Jesus Christ. And then we're going to make some points of application that I made in my own life in regard to the text. And also, I want to depend on you to make the application in your own life. Notice his scars, first of all. But by the way, let me say this. The false apostles had a life of ease and comfort. You show me any minister, any Christian that has a life of ease and comfort, I would question a lot of things. But Paul bore in his body, he said in Galatians 6:17, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? Bearing the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said it's the physical results of persecution. He bore on his body the scars of being a follower of Christ and an apostle for Jesus Christ. Strong's Concordance says it this way, scars of service. And if you're here and you've been in the Christian life and you've been following the Lord and you're serving him, there are scars in your life. Amen? Amen. But the Apostle Paul, I hate to use this because it's been used so much, he turned his scars into stars, right? Now let's look at his scars, first of all. Beginning in verse 23b, he said, "In labors more abundant." This speaks of working to the point of sweat and exhaustion. This speaks of intense effort in the ministry, whether it is in the word, or whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's pastoring the flock, or whatever it might be, taking care of the churches. Paul says, I labored more abundant. There's a lot of work involved. Secondly, in verse 23, 24, and 25, he said, in stripes above measure. Let's look at that in verse 23. He says, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. In other words, 39. Thrice I was beaten with rods. He says, part of his scars was in stripes above measure. You know, when I think about it, I've been misunderstood, I've been lied about, I've been slandered and things like that. I know, but nothing can compare to what the Apostle Paul went through, amen? And nothing anybody at church can say to you to make you mad be above what the Apostle Paul went through, okay? Notice it here, in stripes above measure. He says 5 times he received from the Jews 39 lashes. He didn't receive 40, he received 39. They could have gave him 40 by the law, but they gave him 39. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who had 40 before he was crucified. Deuteronomy chapter 25, 1 through 3, talking about the law, if there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, and that judges may judge them, then shall they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Boy, it's backwards today, isn't it? And he says, and it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and be beaten before his face, according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed, lest he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then the brother would seem vile and unto thee. In other words, the Jews with the Apostle Paul beat him 39 times, minus one. Why? Because they didn't want, they were maybe thinking, a lot of people believe this too as well as I do, they were thinking they may lose count and might beat him over 40 times and be in trouble with the law, with the Torah. But Jesus Christ received 40. They weren't worried about it with him, were they? Note verse 25. He was beaten 3 times with rods by the Romans. And this is recorded in Acts chapter 16 at Philippi. So Paul proudly bore the scars and the marks of his beatings by the Jews and by the Romans both. You see, this is what he meant by the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on in verse 23 to talk about he was in prisons more frequent. He was in prison in Philippi, Jerusalem, Caesarea, twice in Rome, one under house arrest, the other one in a dungeon. An early church father, Clement. Now, what is an early church father? Remember me telling you that somebody in the first and second century, after the death of the last apostle, those that were closest to the church age there? He says that the Apostle Paul was in prison 7 times. In prisons more often. Would you call me today if I was at my last church and they got so mad at me I incited a riot and they locked me up in Cook County? Would you call me as your pastor? You see what I'm saying? Everywhere Paul went, there was a revival or there was a riot. It's amazing, isn't it? In prisons more frequent. And then in verse 25, he says, I was once stoned. He was dragged out of the city of Lystra, stoned and left for dead, Acts chapter 14, verse 19. And this wasn't from the Romans or from the Jewish leaders. It was from a mob violence that took him out and stoned him, and he was left for dead, Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Now, some believe, which I'm not one of them, and I'll prove it in a couple weeks when we get to chapter 12, that he died, and this is when he was called up into the third heaven. And we'll look at it closer when we get to it in chapter 12, verse 2. Let's go on looking at his scars. Verse 25 also, 3 times I suffered shipwreck. The book of Acts records 9 sea voyages by our Apostle Paul before he wrote 2 Corinthians. Now, some believe, Bible scholars who are smarter than I, believe that there was many more sea voyages, if you will, that Paul wrote about. But in this certain one he's talking about here, he says he suffered shipwreck a day and a night. I have been in the deep. Had to be clinging to something, some part of the ship, right? I mean, I'm not reading into the text because he couldn't tread water that long, right? And so he was in the deep 3 days. And he suffered shipwreck. And then in verse 26 and 27, we have a list of what I call general perils that he was in by people and by religious leaders, by the elements, by nature. In verse 26 and 27, he says, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city. Keep wanting to say parables because we're preaching through the parables on Sunday night. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Now that's an amazing there. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often and hunger and thirst and fastings often and cold and nakedness. General perils here. But Paul here, I want to pull out of this here for you something. Paul specifically speaks about being mistreated by the false brethren, the false teachers, and the Judaizers. Number two, his suffering separated him from the ease and the comfort of the false apostles. I'll take any man out there preaching in Timbuktu on Slick Lizard Boulevard with a congregation of 30 people who has been through the wars of the ministry more than I will these prosperity gospel preachers today. Can I get an amen? They were in ease and comfort. What did his sufferings do to him? Well, number one, it separated him in a contrast from the false apostles. Number two, it validated his salvation. What did Peter say? These trials come on us that they're proving the genuineness of our faith. And it also proved his apostleship. They had nothing like this, no credentials like this to back up their false apostleship. But the Apostle Paul said it proved I was an apostle. And then in verse 28 and 29, if this wasn't all, he had something above that. And that was the care of the churches. Look in verse 28 and 29. Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? What does that mean? He says, you put on all this about being an apostle and what the way people without treated him, the way the religious leaders who were not in the church, but they were false, the way they treated him, and upon all that, he had the care of all the churches that he established. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. He was a church planter, right? And he had the care of those churches. He would go back and he would see how they're doing. He would teach them further. He would send men to them to help them and teach that church. On top of all that, he had the spiritual welfare, the care, and the burden of the churches. And this affected him. Paul was a mere man just like us. It had to affect his peace and his joy and his satisfaction. And what really affected him, verse 29, and what affects all preachers is those that are weak in the faith. They're not growing. They're just pygmy Christians. They're baby Christians, and they stay baby Christians. And then the ones that go whirling out there with the world. And the spiritually stunted Christians. Take these beautiful children over here. The last baby, what's the baby's name? Nathaniel Elliott. Elliott. After the missionary? Okay. Nathaniel Elliott. Now, y'all feeding that baby good, I can tell, right? All right? And y'all take care of that baby, right? I hate to use you as an example, but you're the only babies here, really. But what happens if we see you 2 years from now and that baby is still the same size? There's something going on, right? The baby is stunted for some reason physically. I'm not putting a jinx on you, okay? So, But what happens about Christians? They claim to get birthed into the kingdom of God. They're walking out, they're baptized, and they're spiritually stunted for the rest of their life. That's what grieved the heart of the Apostle Paul, and that's what grieves all ministers. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Now, as we close this out, you see why I didn't have an outline on the board. I had to have three screens, right? Look in verse 30. What kept the Apostle Paul in this race of faith? What kept him in the game of life? Look in verse 30, if you will. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Amazing, isn't it? He didn't glory about all the good things that God did for him. He gloried in how God comforted him in the midst of his trials, right? That's what kept the Apostle Paul. He played hurt in the Christian life. He overcame because he depended on the power of God, and he boasted in his infirmities. If you depend on the power of God and willing to suffer for Christ as Christ did, you're not going to let some little something, somebody at church says something to you, cause you to leave the church. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's ridiculous. It's plain out dumb at how easily we are offended in the church. Y'all want me to preach direct, right? Well, I'm preaching direct. We are so easily offended. But we can go to work on a Monday, and they can do anything they want to us at work, and we show back up the next day. Are you with me? It's something. It's crazy. Why? Because we're not looking at it like the Apostle Paul looked at it. He said, I would rather glory in my infirmities, and we're going to expound on that next week in chapter 12. Then glory in what God has done for me. You don't see anything in this text about him glorying and him being an apostle. He was glorying in his infirmities. He played hurt. He magnified God's power at work in him in his sufferings. So I want to ask you a direct question today. What about you? What have we learned today? And I hope anytime the preacher preaches or the teacher teaches or you read your Bible or you hear it on the radio, you've got to walk away with something, right? Let me tell you what God has taught me this week through this text. And you may have others. Number one, we have not really suffered for Christ. We have not. I'm just talking about the church in America. Oh, guess what the preacher did? He had it 74 degrees and I was hot. I wanted to go down to 72. Well, praise God you suffered for Jesus. Amen. Y'all get my drift? We have not suffered for Christ. Number two, we magnify our accomplishments, not our sufferings. We do. Oh, look at that great work he's doing over there at such and such a church. Oh, look at that. They had 10 people saved last week. We don't boast in the Lord and how he comforted us in our trials and our persecutions, do we? Now, y'all got to say today, if you walk out of here mad at me, I'm sorry, because everything I'm talking about to you is in this text. Number three, we feel God's power greater. Now, you might not realize this just yet till you need it, but we feel God's power greater in suffering than we do in his blessings. And we'll see that next week in chapter 12. We feel God's power greater in our life when we're suffering for him and he's comforting us rather than we receiving his blessings. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a great text. And I'm going to appeal to you as your pastor. I want to tell you, play hurt. Play hurt. Don't give up. Don't give up. Play hurt. Play through. And you can do it with the power of God. And I believe the church is about to really know what it means to play hurt in the next 4 or 8 years. I really believe that. Father, as our musicians come, thank you for speaking to us. Boy.